Last time I was here, we looked at Acts chapter 1, verse 11, where Luke recorded the ascension of Jesus into heaven with the words of the angels to the disciples. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way. Immediately before that, the disciples had asked him the question, when the kingdom would be restored. And they had asked him that question earlier too. In Matthew 24, the passage that we read, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? That had been a topic on which he had taught them in some detail, both before his crucifixion and after his resurrection. Jesus had warned them that there would be much false teaching, many misleading prophets, a lot of wrong speculation. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, sums up all of his teaching with the warning, therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And he follows this warning with a short story, our text for this morning, from Matthew 25. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. That was a warning for the disciples of Jesus' time, and was a warning for the early church. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in some detail, exhorting them to not let anyone deceive them in any way. And it is a warning for the church today. Many claim to read the signs and try to predict the time of Christ's return. We must heed the warnings of Jesus and the apostles, and beware the dangers of futile speculation. Well, let's read our text for this morning, the story that Jesus told his disciples. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, so they became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Well, everyone enjoys the happiness of a good wedding, even if the bride does turn up a little late. Marriage custom at the time of Jesus saw the groom and his friends going to the house of the bride's parents, where the bride, with her family and friends, would then join the procession back to the groom's home or to his parents' home. The 10 girls in the story were not so much bridesmaids as we understand them. They belonged rather to the groom's procession. And they weren't there just to look pretty. They were there with a particular practical function. They carried oil lamps to light the way for the groom and his procession. Well, in the story, they waited and waited. Time went by and the groom was late. Very, very late. And the girls grew tired. They were drowsy. They nodded off. And then finally, at midnight, the cry went up, "The groom is coming! Wake up! Get ready! Action stations!" And so we have our first point of Jesus' story. There is a time that cannot be known. This is one of five parables that Jesus tells in a block on this theme. We saw some of them in chapter 24. Two men working together on a farm, two women grinding at the mill, and suddenly the time comes, and one will be taken, the other left. The homeowner who doesn't know when the thief will strike. The good and the wicked servants who don't know when the master will turn up. The master who provided capital for his servants, then went on a long journey and returned unannounced to settle accounts after a long time had passed. Each of these parables, this teaching of Jesus, makes the point very clearly. We live in uncertain times. We do not know when we will be called to account. And the warning, the lesson is, be ready. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had used that analogy himself. He had compared himself and his disciples to the groom and the wedding feasts, the wedding guests, feasting like the Pharisees fasted. And today, we know neither the day nor the hour. It may be now, almost midnight. The time will come, and it will come suddenly and without warning. There is a time when Christ will return, but that time is not known. And our second point is this. There is an essential requirement, a need which cannot be bought, cannot be borrowed. Five of the girls discovered to their horror that their lamp oil was just about gone. Their lamps were sputtering, soon to go out, and they had no more oil. Give us some of your oil. But no amount of pleading would succeed. Go buy some yourselves from the dealers. And it's pointless to speculate where they would possibly have found a dealer open at midnight. The simple point of our story is that half of the girls did not have what they needed, and now it was too late to get it. They could not light the way. They could not fulfill their role and go into the feast without a lighted lamp. Jesus does not apply any symbolism to the oil. It does not represent the Holy Spirit, or faith, or righteousness, or good works. It was simply what was necessary. Without it, they could not be in the wedding procession. They would not go into the feast. It was a personal requirement. It could not be given or borrowed or begged for. In terms of the kingdom of heaven, we must never think that we can borrow what is essential from another. We cannot do that. No one else can provide that requirement for us, no matter how much they may want to have it, want you to have it. I have known of distressed women who long for their husbands to have it. I have known fathers whose great desire is that all of their children would have it. The preparation, the oil, is the personal conviction of sin, of your need for God in your life, at the very centre of your life. It is repentance, it is saving faith, it is grateful obedience. And these are personal, individual. I long for everyone here, everyone watching on the live stream, to have this requirement. Your elders long for you to have it. Maybe your parents or grandparents, your wife, your husband, have this great desire that you would have it. Maybe your friends long to see it in you. But no matter how great their desire, they cannot give it to you. They cannot buy it for you. They cannot believe in Jesus Christ on your behalf. Jesus made it clear in this and other parables that this oil would be needed by each person when he returns, or when each of us reaches the end of our life. We must be prepared before the cry goes up. Here is the bridegroom. Here is Jesus Christ returned. Here is the judge of all mankind, the judge of the world. And so the five went off to buy more oil. And the bridegroom arrived and went into the marriage feast with those five who were prepared. And the door was shut. And so we have our third point this morning, a door which cannot be opened. For each of us, that symbolic door will be shut at our death or when Christ returns. And when it is shut, those who belong to Christ, those who are prepared, those who possess personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what a glorious eternity we will spend. We will forever praise our God and worship Jesus Christ, our Saviour. There we will never again face temptation to sin, for the devil will be locked out, and the door will be shut on sickness and pain and sorrow, on fear and doubt, on sin and sinfulness.
shut, never again to be opened.
Through history, there have been those who have taught that there may be a second chance, that souls can spend some time in purgatory, that family can pay the church for memorial masses or prayers for the dead. But there is no scriptural basis and there is no rational basis for such an idea. The door will shut and it will never open again. There could be no clearer teaching. And our status then determines our eternal destiny. And our fourth point is this. There is a prayer which will not be answered. Verse 11. Afterwards the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. What a crushing reply. What an awful reply. Those foolish virgins represent unbelievers. They looked the same as the other five, beautifully dressed in their attire. They had enjoyed the company of the other five as they all waited together. Other people thought they had what was needed. People expected that they would go into the feast, and they expected to go in. But none of that provided the oil that they needed. And so it will be when Jesus Christ returns. There will be those who have spent time with Christians, those who have attended church services and other meetings, those who have been baptized, those who have sat at the Lord's Supper table, those who have been thought of as Christians. But Christ will say, You are not one of my people. You lack what is needed to spend eternity with me. You do not belong with me and with those who are mine. Depart from me into eternal punishment. Will he say that of any here today, anybody watching? I do not know you. Well, you may say, what a depressing sermon. What a terrible message. And it is. But it is not quite the end. Because the parable is a warning, an awful warning, a warning, a call to faith in Jesus Christ now. There is a time that cannot be known, but there is a time which is known with absolute certainty. It is today. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and quoted the prophet Isaiah, In a favourable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And Paul goes on to say, Behold, now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The inspired writer to the Hebrews wrote, As the Holy Spirit says, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Take heart, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart.
We don't know when Christ will return, but we know that he has not yet returned. So this invitation is still open. We don't know when the time of our death may come, but we know that each day about 470 Australians will breathe their last. About 170,000 each year. About 6 Canberrans every day. And young people, do not think that dying is just for old people. About 2,600 Australians each year die without reaching their 25th birthday. Whatever age we are, we need to be prepared for our lives to end. Don't leave it until tomorrow, until next week, until next year, until you get older. Now is the day of salvation. Make it a priority to settle your eternal future. There is a personal requirement, a need which cannot be borrowed or bought or begged for. It can't be given to you as a gift from another person, no matter how much they long for you to have it. But that requirement is freely available to you today as a gracious gift from God. Isaiah expressed God's gracious invitation prophetically, poetically, in chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Come to me, that your soul may live. The Apostle Paul said it this way, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. The Apostle John said it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The oil for our lamps, the personal requirement, is freely available, graciously given by God himself. He has paid for it, paid in full. The Lord's Supper table, the bread and the wine, show us that he has paid the infinite price for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so he holds out the free gift of salvation. We saw the closed door, the door which can never again be opened. But today that door stands wide open and redeemed sinners are streaming in. People are coming into the kingdom of God from east and west, from north and south. As Isaiah prophesied, bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the end of the earth. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his Holy Spirit And Peter declared, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we read that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The door is open. The gospel is being preached and taught. The scriptures are being read. The Holy Spirit is working in the hearts and minds of those who are hearing God's word. Children, young people, those in middle age and older people, and as they are convicted of their sins, as they turn from them, as they rest on Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, as they exercise saving faith, then they enter the eternal security of the kingdom of God through that open door. And we saw the tragic prayer, the unanswered pleading of the five girls, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And the response, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." But there is another prayer, a prayer which will always be answered, a humble, heartfelt prayer of repentance, a cry for forgiveness. It is the prayer of the lost son, "Father, I have sinned." It is the prayer of the tax collector in the temple, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It is the prayer of the thief on the cross, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It is the prayer of King David, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Do not cast me away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Dear friend, have you prayed that prayer? God is waiting while the door is open, while we are living in the day of grace. Have you received the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ alone? Do you have that requirement? What is needed to enter the kingdom of heaven? And one thing more. If God were to shut that door tonight, today, where would you stand? Inside the kingdom of God? With Christ? Or outside forever? Amen.